about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. So highly conscientious people feel much worse about decreases in their income than people who are less conscientious.
He's Art Markman.
He's Bob Duke.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, money and happiness.
I wrote a blog entry today about a study that just came out in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin that was looking at a particular question, which was the relationship between changes in your income and happiness. And the findings are actually kind of interesting because they interact with personality. So here's the basic finding. They analyzed data from a survey of over 100,000 Germans who were given a personality inventory so that they had measurements on their big five personality characteristics. They asked them each year, over a period of 8 years, they asked them questions about their overall life satisfaction for that year. And they asked them a number of other questions, including yearly income for that year. And they had information about marital status and job status and all kinds of other things. And the question was, how did changes in income from 1 year to the next influence your sense of well-being? And the answer is kind of interesting. Overall, if your income goes up in a given year, that has a really no significant influence on your overall level of well-being. If your income goes down from 1 year to the next, your life satisfaction for that year goes down. Mm-hmm. But here's the interesting finding. It interacts with your level of conscientiousness. So highly conscientious people feel much worse about decreases in their income than people who are less conscientious.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And of course, maybe not surprising, right? Because yeah. conscientious people are following the rules and they're thinking I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. And how come my salary is going down?
Right. And on top of that, highly conscientious people really acutely feel their responsibilities in life. And one of the ways that many people fulfill their responsibilities is through the income that they bring in, mm-hmm. that they're supporting children or parents or other people. And so they, on top of the general sense that life has just dumped on them, there is this other sense in which they are not able to fulfill all of their obligations to the people around them, and they feel that very acutely.
And we should probably say, too, you know, it's not that money doesn't matter at all, but the amount of money matters less once you reach a level in your life experience so you can take care of yourself and your family.
But actually, the interesting thing is that what people believe that they need changes as their income level goes
sure.
up.
Sure.
So if you have gotten used to, if you have acclimated to a particular lifestyle, a negative change in that lifestyle is frustrating for you mm-hmm. because memory plays a big role in this. If you remember that not so long ago, you were living in a nice house, driving a nice car, watching television on a beautiful television set, and you've had to give those luxuries up, then your memory is telling you, you know, the last time I came home from work, things were much nicer.
Yeah.
And now they're not so nice anymore. And that difference between memory and reality can clash in ways that create negative feelings. And the asymmetry is really interesting
yeah.
here, right?
Yeah.
So notice getting a bump in salary doesn't really have an appreciable influence on your well-being. It's the decrease. And part of the reason for that is that if you didn't have stuff, now you make more money and you get stuff you didn't have before. Then, as Danny Kahneman talks about with the hedonic treadmill, that stuff that you get very quickly becomes part of your current reality. Now you are just surrounded by the car or the flat screen TV or whatever stuff you bought. And so now that's your new reality. And so you're not really reminded of all of the stuff you didn't have, because you're in the presence of all the stuff you have. And so it doesn't really make you feel any better because you're just, that's your life as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you don't have it, you are still reminded of all of the things you used to have that you don't have. And that really does create that negative. And so even though technically speaking, right? It's not clear that the flat screen TV falls at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of need. Once you had it,
and then you
don't have it anymore, the need for that feels as strong.
You know, when we imagine the things that bring us the greatest joy, the reason things are so much less important in that equation than experiences is because when things are most joy producing is when they first come into our experience, right? I mean, I didn't have this thing and now I have this thing and that's a big deal. But now it's there and it's there every day and I habituate to it and it's no longer the charge that it was when I first got it. And of course, one of the reasons that, you know, phone companies and the Apple Store and all those things entice people to get, you know, the next level of whatever phone or iPad or whatever the heck that is that they're selling is because the newness of it, they understand, has a value in terms of your emotionality. And when you think about that in terms of money and just being having the ability to do things, what money allows you to do is to keep popping those new things in the door. It's the newness of it that creates that little pump that makes it seem so essential.
And, you know, when we think about this idea of money and happiness, you know, one of the other things that comes into play in this has to do with debt. The reason that this matters is because we often, when we engage in these social comparisons, look at the stuff that other people have without looking at the consequences of having that stuff. Not only do people feel loss aversion to different degrees, but people have a different level of risk tolerance.
Yeah.
The more debt you take on, the more of a risk you're taking on. There's a danger in making these comparisons to other people because what you see about them is only their stuff. You don't see the level of risk that they took on to get that stuff. And so I've seen people who were perfectly happy. They were content with the level of risk in their lives and content with the amount of stuff that they had, and then began to see other people with more stuff and engaged in riskier behaviors that made their overall quality of life worse in order to acquire stuff that would match the stuff other people had.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about parenting adult children with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.